Some things are just better together. Chips and salsa, sports and friends. Breezeline Internet and mobile. Get gig internet with a free month when you order online, plus a free mobile line for a year. It's everything you need at home or on the go. Visit breezeline.com today.
You're the owner of a small business, which means you're also the tech guy, and HR, and personal assistant, and head honcho, and intern. You could use another pair of hands, like the experts you'll find at Verizon Small Business Days, April 21st through 27th. Get a free tech check, special deals, and more. Call 1-800-483-4428 or visit verizon.com/smallbusiness to book your appointment. Verizon Business.
Probably can't get away from Pendergrass in any way. Not even contract negotiations that the boy's not part of. It's like, well, we can't give you what you want because we haven't given it to the other lad.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
OTB GAA. The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Well, last Monday on the Football Pod, we started in Augusta, in Georgia. You couldn't go anywhere else. On Thursday night in the Europa League, Rio Ferdinand said, "What other sport in the world can make you feel like this?" And then on Saturday night, down in Super Value Porky Queef, we had the shades of 2020 once more. James O'Donoghue, you must have been sweating. And then the hurling takes over on Sunday. A couple of great GAA games this weekend. Lads, where would we be without the sport? Where would we be without the GAA?
You didn't even mention Clovis. Man who done got every GAA match, bar maybe Galway or Roscommon, is providing serious entertainment. What a weekend. We knew the month of hurling championship be top of the pops, but the Kerry Cork game was Saturday night was not what we expected, but Jesus Christ, what a game of football that was. And the same with Clovis on Sunday. Lads, I am all for, I said it from day one, the two-pointers. I know Mickey Hart hates them, but these two-pointers are keeping the games alive. It's a phenomenal weekend.
It's a better game, isn't it? Like, after watching that, I was buzzing for about 4 hours after. I couldn't sleep or nothing after the Kerry Cork game. I was high as a kite. It was just great viewing. You didn't know which way it was going to go. You could actually be so on top and lose if you don't have your tactics right or your act together. It was a brilliant weekend. It's so much better than last year already. And you know what? It's going to be some summer. It's going to be a phenomenal summer. And we actually had a club game as well the weekend. We got caught with the old, we were 2 points up last play and they got a two.
Oh, Is it happening more often, lads, than we thought it would? Like, they spotted at the same play on Sunday. The two-pointer, we thought that might be one in every 10 or 15. Most games are coming down to it. It's phenomenal stuff. Like.
Yeah. You have a right chance if you have a two-point, if you're a two down. Like, but do you know what happened with us? When I actually don't know the rule to this. You might cover it off for me. In a club game, there's no hooter. Right.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, even if there is a hooter, no one knows what the fuck is going to happen. But right, there's no hooter in a club game. So the ref told us it was the last play after the ball went over the bar. So he kind of said to a few of the lads, it's the last play. And then he played on. He was waiting for us to kick it out of play.
That doesn't make sense.
Only two fellas knew that it was the last play on the field.
They've got to be roaring to you, Jimmy. Like, do you remember there was a train of matches? And we got like last play. Like.
I know, that's it. No one was roaring because everyone was like, what happens on last play? You're supposed to kick it out. If you kick it out, and next thing he goes, right, play on. Which he could have done. He could have easily done
that. Last play, lashed the thing out off the pitch.
Yeah,
I thought sympathy for you there. Like.
Yeah, no, I don't know, James. Thanks for starting us off on that foot because I don't actually have the answer for that one. But it doesn't sound like the referee, like, doesn't like, but the referee should just blow the whistle when the ball goes dead, right? Or when the attack breaks down.
The ball has to go to play. Ball has to go
to
play.
But you can't say if this
is fucking ridiculous. Like, one of the best weekends of football in months. And Jimmy's coming in with a dodgy referee.
This was up there. Anyway, oh yeah. God. What do we get?
Right. James.
Yes.
You were in Bodder. You were
in Bodder.
Plain sailing before Paddy's red card. And then you were in Bodder. Cork blew it, didn't they?
No, I don't think Cork blew it. I think we saw, we definitely saw the advantage change with the red card, that you're defending only now with 11 versus an attacking team with 12. I think that is huge. Like, a red card now is a really big deal in the game. Last year and the year before, you could get away with it. You could tuck in nice and tight, get your 14 behind the ball, and you'd nearly, it would be a disadvantage, but you get away with it. No, it's crushing. And even in the game at the moment, we know that it's all about momentum, how you keep it and how you can lose it. And once Kerry lost it and got Paddy sent off, Cork smelt blood, in fairness to them, and they went for it. And the one thing that they definitely prepared for was kicking two-pointers. And it really does change the dynamic of the game if your two-pointers are on it. And Brian O'Driscoll's thrown over two beautiful ones in the first half to keep them in it. And without them, Kerry could have kind of got away from them. But with them, it kept them in the game. And I think that, I don't think the Kerry are working on that enough. I think it's going to catch them if they don't do it, because
do you, actually
you can play a game. You can play a game. Yeah, I do. You can play a game and you can be 5 points better. And in the old rules, that would be a comfortable win. But yeah. No, if a team is just shooting from further out, that 5 points is eaten up. And that's exactly what Cork had. They had 5 two-pointers worth an extra 5 points, and they were well in that game. And they will be kicking themselves they didn't win it.
They had 6 two-pointers.
They have 6 in the end, yeah.
So many bloody two-point frees laid on. And you were looking at the man who was whipped off. And I'm sure there was an element to this. John Cleary is minding Brian Hurley's body when he took him off. They were 7 points down when he took him off. I was in a pub in West Clare watching the game, and there were a lot of Clare fans who I'm sure were screaming for Cork to get the job done, because they might have been facing Cork in a Munster final then. Yeah. And like, everyone was saying, why not bring Hurley back on? Bring him back on for the 2-point freeze. He's the man for that. Or bring up Micheál Martin to take them off the ground. They were unlucky, but they had a couple of chances late on to even steal that, you know?
It wasn't even just the 2-pointers. I think extra time Cork will be kicking themselves. And I agree, Jimmy, we said it in bonus on Sunday as well with Monaghan. Teams, the beauty of these rules and the 2-pointers, and I know they got stick off Mickey Hart last week after the offaling round and receiving end of from Meade, and their leaders wiped out and they were beaten. The 2-pointers mean games are never over. Kerry were 7 points up coming down the stretch. They were 7 points up after the first quarter. It was 11-4, and you were thinking, again, Kerry had picked up where they left off after the National League. I thought they were exceptional in the first quarter. They dominated Micheál Martin's kickouts. Joe O'Connor would have the best game we've seen him play ever.
What a goal.
But he's a brilliant goal, but in the normal first 20 minutes of the game, he was dominating there. And Paddy Clifford was Rolls-Royce stuff, kick passing game. Everything that makes Kerry exceptional, whereas Donald O'Mahony was getting a really, really tough go of it with Clifford. But to be fair to him, he sticks at it. But after 20 minutes, you're thinking this game is going exactly as we thought it would. Kerry in top form, really taking advantage of the rules. Not the 2-pointers, but in terms of speed and our transitions. And Brian O'Driscoll single-handedly, with those two unbelievable 2-pointers into the Black Rock end, that brings Cork back into the game. And that's the beauty of this. No lead is safe now. We see that. You look at the two of the marquee games from the weekend, the Kerry-Cork match and the Donegal-Monaghan game in Clonus. Both of those games last year would have just petered out. Damn script. Kerry controlled the game, Donegal controlled the game. Monaghan could be up after half time. We hit 3 two-pointers as well. Yeah, Jack McCarron, Conor Carty, Micheál Bannigan. So they worked their shooters. And the same, that's what Cork did really well. Owen McSweeney, O'Driscoll, Conor Matty gets one of his two big misses at the end as well. But the 2-pointers are so prevalent in the game now that it keeps teams in it if they work it right. And I agree with you too, but I don't think Kerry have really, they haven't needed it. They feel like we get on top of the round the middle and we just kick past inside. And they've been absolutely dominating in that aspect of the game. But you're right, they have to bring in some sort of 2-point scores, because the mental swings are incredible. But I think from Kerry's perspective, lessons learned from the weekend. I don't know, Jim, you might know more about it, but I thought Shane Ryan was a loss when he went off. Cork, we said beforehand, have a really, really strong midfield, Conor McCallaghan and Ian McGuire. To be fair, Joe O'Connor gets man of the match, but those guys were really giving Kerry their fill of it as well. And I thought Shane Murphy's kickouts. He now makes a brilliant save for Chris O'Jones, but his kickouts just seem to be a little bit more floaty, and it was allowing Cork to get back into the game. I thought they missed Shane Wright, and I was probably underrated with his kickouts and retained the possession. The big thing for me, Paddy Clifford is so pivotal to that team. Just in terms of controlling the game, not only his kick passes and provide balls inside to Geady and Clifford, obviously, just control of the game and just composure, because it became chaotic. The sentence off, I agree. Now, on the sentence off, lads, I don't think either of them were red carded.
The linesman called both of them.
The linesman called both, and I was
Why does the ref need to go to the linesman? I think it's almost a cop out by the referee to say, like, it was right next to him. Yeah. It's not like it was off the ball. They were both on the ball. It's like, make the decision yourself. You don't have to go to the linesman who's under pressure from the whole stand to give the decision. They weren't red card. I know, Tommy, you're saying by the letter of the law, it might have been. Like, they're never red card in a championship match. They were, they could have, they seriously altered the result, both those decisions.
They're two different ones, right? Two different ones, right? And I think there's an element to the Cork one, evening it up. But in the rule book...
Yeah, but you can't do that later. You can't even again. He was evening it up. What? That's absolutely rubbish, that is.
I just go on mute. I'll go on mute.
Good luck. Tommy, do you think there were... Tommy, do you think either one of them were red cards? Your own thoughts.
We're talking here about the new rules that were brought in. There will be zero tolerance to head-high challenges. Now, Sean Brady's was not a red card.
Head-high?
I'm saying Sean Brady's was not a red card. You misquoted.
Well,
it is a red card because he was right to even
understand. No, I didn't say he was right.
I don't think Paddy Clifford was a red card.
I'll leave it. You just take over.
So you think Paddy's was? You think Paddy Clifford was a red card?
I never said
Paddy Clifford's was a red card, but I can understand why it was given. I can understand how in the moment when your man ducks as Clifford is coming through, Clifford gets...
Matty Taylor is nearly falling into it. The way I look at it, if I'm Paddy Clifford, I'm the player there, you are raged. You've been said he's gone in. And the same with Sean Brady. You see Paddy's reaction. You see the clip online that happens. He's really relieved. You know, obviously, you feel like you've let your team down or things like that. But if you're either player in a game like that, and conditions are really tough as well, sheets of rain, I just think if you're a player, you are fuming if that's a record. It's not like he's come in to close like many times, take the head off him. It's just maybe clumsy. Brady's as well as lower. He's just coming in. He's just Joe O'Connor's dominating. He needs to kind of get contact on him. I just think in a game like that, okay, I hear you.
Doesn't matter. Maybe
the rules. I was disappointed. But I'm not scared of the game. I didn't think.
Just so you don't misquote what I'm saying here. I personally don't think either merited red cards. But I'm
that's the first time you've said because you've changed your story.
So you're not confused for the rest of the year. We're going to see so many red cards like that this year. There are going to be so many controversial red cards. We've seen it in hurling already. It is coming, lads. Like, head-high tackles are being cut out.
Head-high tackles aren't like an issue in football. And as well, Tom, you said there, it's like the heat of the moment. You can see why he did it. I don't think there was any heat of the moment in the decision because... I don't know why you're making a face. You did it. He went to the linesman.
Why would
you go to the linesman in that situation? Make the call yourself, passing the buck, and next thing it's like, okay, yeah, we'll send them off. I thought that's why both decisions. And I feel sorry for Brady as well, because inside in the dressing room, I can guarantee you, they would have said, lads, we're a man up here. Don't do anything stupid. And 5 minutes in, the ref sends them off.
I don't think he did that stupid to me.
No, that's what I mean. That's why I feel sorry for him. He didn't. He just stood up there. Didn't. And in fairness, Joe probably does get it caught in the neck, but it's not a red card. Like, that happens. It's a physical game. But I think they were two poor decisions. There's no doubt about it. Whatever the new rule is, I think, if you're sent off for that in a championship match, it's not right, in my opinion.
Well,
but in terms of what it did to the lads as well, you said it, Jimmy. We know there's more space in these games under the new rules. You take a man out of either team, and that chaos created such an incredible spectacle. Like, extra time than I'd normally see teams are out on their feet, but it's a bit of a drag nearly gets the penalties, but extra time the other night was exceptional. And Cork, you could see John Cleary spoke to GA Plus after, you could see he was devastated. There was no, it was a good performance, all that type of stuff. Cork really had that game there for taking it. And you have to say, with the possession they had and the chances they created in extra time, but maybe do you look at it, tweak our hurry back on here and just that little bit more clinical up front. They created lots of opportunities. Cahalan, obviously, Colin Manny has the last two shots, the free and then the one for play and the hooter. And Cork will just be so disappointed because it was an exceptional performance. The resilience they showed, it was the best we've seen at Cork all year. But what we see, the difference between, a Division One team, one of the top teams in the country, and a team trying to get to that stage is just being clinical up front. Kerry just, scores came, even when they're under pressure, they just came through a little bit easier. Clocheaney was really, really good again. Clifford, like you say, in a great battle, but when he was needed, I think he kicks Kerry's only two-pointer. Would that be right?
Yeah,
into the town end.
Yeah.
But the takeaways for me from Kerry's side, it's really a good result for them that it's been kicking a hole for them as well. The thing I worry about them, and again, maybe not just Kerry, but we seen this in the Armagh game last year, and again on Saturday night, when teams are really, really direct, that athleticism, direct running at Kerry. I know there's a man down, and okay, you need to take that into account as well, but I just think teams are getting at them very, very easily there, and it's that athleticism around the middle. They need Dermot O'Connor back, they need Thomas Sullivan, I think he was sick, I think Jack O'Connor mentioned.
Yeah.
Just that energy around the middle, because Ty Morley's not going to give it to you, he gives you other things, but Cork, you could see the likes of Powder, Taylor, these guys really, really direct their carry, and they struggled with it. Cork were punching massive holes. And you look at around the country, what team plays that style to a Donegal? Teams are really precise, energy. And I thought that was definitely something Jack O'Connor and Peter O'Neill would have noticed from that game at the weekend. But they got out of it. I thought it was an exceptional game. So much drama, talking points, all that stuff. It was a brilliant night for the Munster Championship.
It was. But just to remind people of the difference in the rule, because before you could, at the start of the league, if you got a man sent off, you could lose a forward. But they changed that, so now you lose a defender. So that's why there can be so much of a swing, like it's hard to defend. But I think that Kerry were so dominant in the first half because they were moving the ball so fast, kicking it, and the options were on. But I think it's like they went a certain distance ahead, or maybe Cork started chipping away and Kerry went safe. They actually went hand-passing, and there's so many chances to go safe because there's so much space. You can easily just pass the buck and just kind of hand pass it to your teammate. But like when they're going well, they're taking way more risks, kicking more ball. Even if the ball is spilled inside, there's still another chance for one of your players to pick it up because there's less defenders there. I think when Kerry play fast, they're in a league of their own. As soon as they go cautious and safe, they're average. And like I think that's actually what happened to Derry. Derry have done the same thing. It's like they've lost their identity and they're kind of just going cautious and going safe. And just on the rules is two things over the weekend, right? The first thing, steps has gone crazy. I think the defenders
is this Johnny Shea here? Like,
well, Shawnee's one,
steps.
Shawnee's one was probably steps, all right.
But was it?
over the weekend, it's reckless. If you're asking defenders, right, to mark one-on-one in oceans of space, I think you have to be really tight on the steps. And like, with no questions, like even a couple in the Donegal game I saw online after, you've no chance if you're as a defender, if your man is taking 8 steps and getting away with it. And the other thing that I think about the rules is the 50 meter, say from a kick out, if a midfielder catches the kick out and gets a mark, and someone interferes with him or is deemed to interfere and it comes up 50 metres for a 2-point shot, you're getting 2 points for catching a kick out. Like, that's game changing as well. Do you know, like 2 points for that, it seems too heavy, that waiting. But that's just because we'll probably cover the rules every couple of weeks. So I just don't think those are two things that will be an issue.
What about head-high tackles?
Not a problem. Keep them.
I guess I was just making the point that we are going to see a lot of that this year. It's going to be messy. We're going to see a lot of red cards for tackles that we're going to be discussing afterwards. It's going to happen. Saying that the kick-out mark has to be ironed out, the steps is one that needs to be nailed as well. 100% needs to be nailed. And I think if we're looking, you know, we're looking for the attacking play to be increased and, you know, more space for forwards. As you said, James, defenders are absolutely snookered if steps aren't being addressed properly, because you can just breeze by a fella. I want to come back to the 2-point conversation we're having, but I don't want to just stick with Kerry and Cork for today. Donegal and Monaghan was an interesting game, Paddy. Really, at spells in this game, it felt like Donegal had pulled away from Monaghan. They were out of dodge. They were in total control. Ultimately, they had done enough and they were probably the better side in the day. But Monaghan's ability to get their 2-point shooters in the right positions and to execute them, Desi Ward, Jack McCann.
Desi Ward was exceptional, yes. I know he misses at the end, but it was. I thought he had a brilliant performance. I think Gary McBrannan spoke about it afterwards. That, again, half time, Donegal are cruising, and it's that really, really precise build up from Donegal. They've such a score trying to cross them, but Pat Morgan obviously stands out through Bar Rorty coming up from the back. Like they just have. It used to be maybe just Ryan McHugh coming up the pitch, but they've so much pace and threat all over the pitch. I keep saying it. I love to see Donegal bring in a kicking game to, but it looks like maybe they won't do that. Maybe we won't see that at all, and they're happy with, they're going to mind the ball, and they're going to probe, and they've got such athleticism and pace. It makes him, Donegal's approach could really hurt a team like Kerry, but I thought their performance yesterday was... First half, really, really good. Monaghan were just really passive. It was like they were surprising. I thought Monaghan, we spoke about it last week, big crowd in Clonus, nothing to lose, really. They were going to come out of the box like a house on fire, but they were just really slow getting into the game. But start of the second half, they obviously have a bit of a rollicking at half time. And the 2-pointers, breaking it with Monaghan have shown this ultra national league. They have guys, not just Rory Began, obviously, Jack McCarron comes on, Desi Ward, Bannigan. Like Conor Kennedy, unbelievable scores. Like that is a serious skill we're seeing, and it's such a plus that risk reward. Like if the 2-pointers are there, those guys, they're not going to take those shots on, and they keep the ball for 3 or 4 minutes, arcs around the thing, and they might get a free or they might get turned over. So it's such an addition to the game, and teams you can see when they take advantage of it. Monaghan, to be fair, over the first 4 months of the season, have done it. And it nearly got them out of the dodge on Sunday. I agree, I thought Donegal were a better team overall. The big plus from Donegal's side, it's like I said, just the balance across the team. I mean, look, they bring in Oisín Gallan off the bench, they bring in JC McGee off the bench, Jaden Brennan comes out, kicks 2 massive scores as well. They just have, it looks like a team where everyone, and this is no surprise with Jim McGuinness, everyone knows their role. So this look unbelievably coached. They're like Derry under Rory Gallagher a couple of years ago, where they don't do anything stupid on the ball. It's minding the ball, wait for an opportunity, and they have energy and threats from all over the pitch. If you're playing against them, you are in for a nightmare. You're going to be running flat to the mat for 70 minutes, and that's a massive plus for Donegal. They were a better team, but 2-pointers kept Monaghan in it, and a credit to them. But for Jim McGuinness and those Donegal players, I thought it was another plus in their kind of way. It was a really good performance. I was impressed with them, I have to say.
Yeah, 2-pointers kept them in it, right? I was writing a preview for the Meath and Monaghan game back in early March and spoke about the importance for Meath not to foul anywhere within 60 metres of the goal. Right, easier said than done. Rory Began, I think, kicked 5 points that day. We know he's Monaghan's top scorer. For the third game in a row, this is no fluke. For the third game in a row, Donegal have not conceded a 2-point free.
Unbelievable coaching and buy-in from the players.
What are they doing?
That shows a team that are just absolutely
tuned in,
focused. Because tell me, every team in the country will play Monaghan and goes, don't give away frees from Began. But what that shows is total clarity across all positions on the pitch. Not some fucking forward coming back, throwing his arm across, going, oh, they're trying to get a tackle in. That is a team that is laser focused. And that's what I'm saying, you know, just coaching on with the ball, without the ball. They will be very, very hard to play against. No matter who Donegal come up against, they'll be prepared for the opposition's threats. And I said, loads of teams do analysis. Loads of teams do all this, all the stats and all the packs. The players buy into it and carry it out that that just shows everyone's on the same page in Donegal. It's no surprise that they're doing it because of the Guinness and just the atmosphere around that team. But that was just such a key takeaway. Look how many teams play Monaghan and will say exactly that, but they'll give Beggar fucking 4 or 5 opportunities. Donegal, laser focus.
I made a mistake. They actually conceded 2.3 against Mayo, but it's Derry game didn't concede one. Monaghan game didn't see one, and just one against Mayo. So it is obviously clearly something that they're actively working on.
Do you see Michael Langan, my player to watch for the year, 4 points.
Very good.
And Langan, the only question I'd have about Donegal, not even a question, but just something to keep an eye on, no goal again. You know, they don't seem to be creating as much as other sides in terms of getting those goal chances and goal moments. I think it'll be interesting to see when and if they do bring him in. But just like Kerry with the 2 points, Donegal, like it's glaring that they don't have a couple of goals next to their totals every week with the quality they have. I wonder if something they'll probably work on it, and it will take them up a level if they do. But it's funny that they're not getting those goal chances, really.
But you know, they're working players in the pockets of space, GB, and they're just pulling the trigger, picking the score.
Yeah.
Like, they're so precise in how they're building up into play. I've said it for 18 months, so I'd love to see them kick the ball more, take more, you know, like a carry, that speed of transition, because that's where you're going to get goal chances. Whereas Donegal are happy to just probe. They've created overlap. And they get someone in around the arc, in around the D, and it's clip over a score. So it's not like they're not forcing anything, which is good in a way, but I agree. Always the thing with Donegal, are they holding stuff back? Are we going to see them come to Croke Park and all of a sudden it's going to be kick, or it's going to be flat to the mat, we're going for goals? I don't know. We thought we might see it last year, and we didn't. And we haven't seen it at all to date this season. Are they happy enough? They're all players, the coaches, and say, we can win this thing by doing this. We've identified, we keep the ball, we be really disciplined without the ball, and we will create scoring opportunities, 1 and 2 pointers, and that's going to be enough to win it for us. Without kicking the ball, without taking those risks, time will tell. I'd love to, it's another strength to their bow, but the goal chances, that they just seem totally happy without it. They don't need it.
And the hooter, like, that is the story of the match, is the hooter, like, whether we like it or not. He has the ball on the sideline. Whether he kicks it in at when he did or half a second earlier, are we saying that has decided what happened?
Yeah.
But I mean,
like,
in Clonus, is there a massive clock ticking down? Well, obviously you can't see it on the TV, but there probably is. But I mean, is it the start of the hooter or the end of the hooter? Do you remember when Meade got that goal in the last minute?
They changed the rule.
To the start of the hooter?
No, they changed the rule after that once the hooter goes, if the ball is out of play, the game is over. If the ball is still in play, the next time the ball goes dead, over the sideline or a wide.
Is the ball out of play? He literally has foot to hand kicking
Sean
it into play.
The ball, out of play. The hooter goes, Ryan O'Toole is holding the ball, and the hooter ends.
Ryan O'Toole is kicking the ball in as the hooter goes. It's literally that tight.
He's not. The clock on GA Go or GA Plus is wrong as well. It was wrong.
Hey,
do you know what? GA Plus. How was that game not free to air? That's what I want to know. Absolute disgrace.
Because Jimmy, fuck off. Because they're showing Cork and Clare that what's the hurling championship. We wouldn't have seen any of these games if it wasn't for GA Plus at the weekend. So I'm gonna go to bat for that one. It was frustrating for Bonner. It was, because the team came to Brandon.
It's the rule, though. It's the rule.
Yeah, he was furious with that. And that's what David Colbert says. I agree. So I can see the frustration on their side, but it was literally just a second. Let's get the ball back in play.
Sean Patton did incredibly well. Sean Patton killed 26 seconds before he kicked that kick out, and he put it over towards the touchline. I'd imagine he knew what he was doing. The hooter situation is an absolute disgrace, though. Like, it hasn't been implemented properly across the board. It hasn't been backed fully by the powers that be when it was voted in. And it's the second time in about a decade that's happened. This hooter was brought in about 10 years ago. And because of money and a few other logistical reasons, it hasn't got the full backing that it's deserved. I felt very sorry for some of the Wicklow and Longford players that were playing a couple of weeks ago and they had no hooter. Like, it's just an absolute mess. And I think it's actually been a shame the way it's been managed. Anyways, Monaghan were very unlucky at the weekend in that regard, but they're just, efficiency is what killed them, much the same as Cork. We saw Donegal, we saw Kerry's efficiency come through at the weekend.
You mentioned that Galway, that's something.
You mentioned the lack of two-pointers for Kerry. You mentioned the lack of goals for Donegal. Perhaps with Galway, without Shane Walsh, Damien Comer, are we starting to see that they're flexing their muscles and all the strengths that they have across the field? Keane Darcy plucking six balls out of the sky. Rob Finnerty and Matthew Thompson and Matthew Tierney pulling the strings in attack. They're not reliant on just the one or two fellas anymore, as Pádraig Joyce said afterwards. That was clinical and impressive. If we saw three of our contenders this weekend, I think Galway have laid down the gauntlet so far.
I think that every manager wants that to be the narrative around their team. Like, I knew Joyce was going to say that. He wants nobody to think that they're reliant on Walsh or Comer. He wants it to be, there's 15 of us, we're all at the same level. Every manager wants to say that. It's still not the case. That said, I thought all Galway's big players on Saturday, was Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
I thought they were outstanding. Conroy, as you said, Darcy, Killy McDade was awesome. I thought he looked so quick and strong and skillful.
Finnerty,
they're powerful. Finnerty was so jinky. It's like everything he did there was going to be a dummy. He gave away one or two just being a bit kind of, it was almost coming so easy for him. Sean Kelly driving forward from the back, I thought that everyone was just on it. They look in a really good place. And then you question where Roscommon are coming from. I thought the only one that showed up for them really was Ben O'Carroll, who I thought had a great battle with Johnny McGrath. That was a great battle. He still did well, Ben O'Carroll. Still, every ball that came into him, I thought he did his job and was solid, even when the tide was going against him. But Galway just have that depth. Every player is just getting better. And they still have that sprinkling of unbelievable quality to add into their starting team, which is a worry for the other teams. You've got to have them in the top two in the country. They looked really, really solid now at the weekend.
Yeah, they brought in Sean Mulkearns. He did a man marking job on Enda Smith. Matthew Thompson looks a baller. He really does. Really, really talented fella in there. And John Maher, lads. John Maher screamed in agony in the New York game. We all thought he was in trouble. He's in a brace after it.
Brilliant player, John Maher.
Wrapped up. Like, lads, just what an operator. He's involved in bloody everything.
He's such a team player.
Yeah, like I think Finnerty gives away a ball at one stage. He kind of kicks a pass. He's kind of flicking it. Maher turns it over again on Keith Doyle, and then Finnerty spreads the play, and McDade gets a point on the far side. So, yeah, I just think Galway laid down the gauntlet at the weekend. Just to linger on what you're saying about Donegal's lack of goals, right? And maybe Kerry's lack of two-pointers. We know that Kerry have kicked 20 goals this year between league and championship, more than anyone. Coming into the weekend, Brian O'Driscoll had 8 two-pointers. He added another 2 at the weekend. Kerry have only kicked 1 in the last 4 games or so. Gavin White has spoken in the last couple of weeks, speaking at the Munster launch in Muckross House. And he said, my own brief experience in the 2 games I played, the 2-pointers are mainly on maybe a slower play. We try to play as fast as we can in Kerry. And that's obviously something we're going to have to look at going into the summer. Paul Gainey was speaking about it a few weeks before that. And he was talking about the fact that maybe in the Tyrone game, they put too much of an emphasis on getting 2-pointers early in that second half when the wind had changed. And I don't know whether it rattled them a bit that they realised maybe we don't need to go chasing this. And he was also speaking separately about the fact that a goal should have remained at 4 points with the 2-point in play. So I put the 2 of them to you, right? Are Kerry actively avoiding 2-pointers? And should the goal have remained at 4 points?
I think Kerry, this, remember the stage last year, Jimmy, as we were talking, and Kerry had scored goals and then he got 2 against Meade. I have no qualms that Kerry have 2-point shooters. We've seen Sean Shea come back in. We spoke about, where's he going to play? Is he going to play out? You have to imagine Paddy Clifford has to play at 11. So Kerry play Sean Shea out, when they keep him inside with Paul Gainey and David Clifford. But they have the capacity to kick 2-pointers. They haven't needed it because they've been moving the ball so effectively, so quickly. So I think they will add that to their bow, because they're going to need it when they bump against different challenges. I wouldn't be worried about that. The Donegal team on their side, can they start working goals? Yeah, I think they're probably going to need to do something. But again, they might need it this weekend when they play down, but as the championship goes on. But the 4-point goal thing, that was universally panned when it came in. Everyone said, get rid of it. But you see, see the rationale behind it. You know, it's, look, it's not going to come in now, but I don't know. I don't think it will have that big of an impact.
The problem with the 4-point goal is that it completely belittles a point. You'd be like, why are we bothering scoring a 1-pointer? At the moment, a 1-pointer is still a huge score. You make 4 points a goal, I think it's done for the ones. And like, there where you get your more skillful ones, you know, from the sides and a nice worked point. I don't know. I just don't think a 4-point, I don't personally agree with it. With the 2-pointers then and teams using them, I agree with your point that the faster you move the ball and the, if you're inside line of your strongest players, the chances are that the attack isn't going to be that slow and come back out for a 2-pointer. But I think that maybe Kerry have said, I don't know, is it a bit of like, we don't need the 2-pointers? Is it a bit of kind of, not arrogance, but like, lads, you need them. I mean, the 2-pointer is a double attack. And we see teams can pull away easier and can claw back deficits easier. 2-pointers are a massive part of this year's championship. Even if it's individual, it doesn't have to be part of a big team tactic or whatever. Individually, make it your business to have one or two shots at the post for a 2-pointer to increase your tally. I think it's going to be a major factor. Like if we say, in that Cork Kerry game, right, it was wet, it was cold, it was dreary, and Brian O'Driscoll was firing him over with plenty to spare. When we get into Croke Park, we're going to have those Reno Neal scores where you can chip it over from 45. Like they're going to be on and they're going to be a lot easier to kick. So I think teams have to be on them.
Yeah.
But you have to take a look at the weekend, right? Kerry were absolutely red hot inside, so they're just kicking the ball inside. Like Clifford. Mm. So that's the way they're playing. Cork and Monaghan as well, their inside lines were struggling, weren't getting a lot of joy. So they had to take on 2-pointers. It just so happens that probably suits their players out the pitch. The thing that stood out most on Galway, I thought was an exceptional performance from Galway. Unbelievable clinical performance. They were the one team with the best of both worlds. You know, let's play Tierney inside for Finnerty. This is without arguably, you know, their two best, the two marquee forwards. But they were dangerous inside. They were working those guys in. And then they've, look at the score they got before half. We're talking about a team in sync with Donegal not giving away 2-point frees to Beggar. Look at Galway's last score before half time. Hooter goes, let's keep the ball. They keep it for 2 minutes until the Hooter goes. Then we're going to work with Paul Conroy on the top of the arc, 2-point score. It was like Paul Ruiz could not have fucking wrote a textbook on that any better than what they did. That's a team that is just totally in sync and they have the threat of, okay, we want to kick it inside and transition really, really fast. We have Finnerty, Comer, Matty Tierney in there. We need 2-pointers. Let's work it around the arc. Let's get the likes. We can bring Tierney out, bring Conroy in. We want to run the ball. Let's give it to fucking Killian McDade and just truck it straight up the middle, Johnny Barr. Like they have so many different threats. We talk about balancing the team. What Donegal have? Galway have that as well. I just thought, watching that game, if you're one of the contenders looking at it, Galway can hurt you in so many different ways. We said it beforehand in the build-up to this game, they are fucking powerful. Keane Darcy comes in, he's like Darryl O'Shea going around the place. And Davey Burke said it afterwards. He was like, the Rossies just had no answer for that. Like, you go, we'll try and put someone on Marr. We'll try and put someone on Conroy. We'll try and put someone on McDade. Fucking Keane Darcy comes in, player of the year stuff. Like, it's the balance they have across their team, and that's without Cook, and that's obviously without Cobra could come out around the middle turn as well. I just think Galway has so many weapons. Whilst not someone to kick him, Tommy, but I agree in terms of just an additional scoring threat. Finnerty's come on leaps and bounds. You can see just the guy's total confidence is all star. He's clear.
Yeah.
He's more confident in himself. I thought performance wise, you're right. We'd see 3 of the main contenders this weekend. All of them at times were really good. A couple of things to work on, but I thought Galway's overall performance from all over the pitch, I thought it was an outstanding performance.
Okay. I have great time for Killian McDade. Do you know, at the start, when you're watching him, he's so powerful, fit, massive engine, strong, tall. Like, he has all the physical attributes. And you kind of put him in that category of athlete-style player. He's actually so skillful as well. He's both-sided. He can carry the ball at such pace, take tackles on the run, and finish both left and right. Good decision maker. Like, even that pass over the top for Finnerty's point in the first half for a goal chance, like, that pass was only half on, and he tried to kind of probe and do the incisive thing. I think he's a really, really smart and skillful player, not just the athlete. Top player.
Jimmy, if you look at across, what Galway remind me of, and I know they've been knocking at the door, they've lost two of the last three finals. They look like they're men, like they're mature, they're experienced. Yeah. You know, Sean Kelly, they won't do anything stupid. You know, and I just think they tick so many boxes. Physically, they're big, but mentally, you can just see they've learned lessons from the last couple of seasons, the heartbreak they've had. Sean Kelly looks to be back to his best. Jeez, your heart melted any time the fella was out to the ground. Yeah.
And he always gets stuck in something. Oh, he went down. Yeah, I thought his leg was hanging off.
He was fucked. He was going again, but he's so important for them. At least to have, they get a big test in Castlebar in 2 weeks' time, and Mayo were really, really important character on Saturday. But it's Mayo Galway, and it's in Castlebar, so Mayo gives them another cup game as well. But Galway just took the place there with Walsh. Comer gets a quarter yesterday. They've got to be happy where they are.
There must be some buzz about Galway at the minute. They're just in flying form. And obviously that rematch, that grudge rematch with Mayo in the Connacht final, might be an interesting place to be that weekend, bank holiday weekend. We do have a roadshow, lads, that we'll be announcing later this week, so more details to follow on that. The Football Pod is brought to you every week with thanks to AIB, proud sponsors of the Senior Football Championship. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. We've spoken about the contenders. After the break, I want to come back to a couple of the underdogs and some of the other stars that stood out over a brilliant weekend of football. We're back after this.
Some things are just better together. Movies and popcorn, gaming and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile service. Get lightning fast internet starting at just $19.99 per month when you bundle with mobile. Plus, you'll get a free mobile line for a whole year. It's a match made in savings. No hidden fees, just nationwide mobile coverage and reliable fiber-powered internet with a free modem and Wi-Fi. Everything you need at home or on the go. For video chatting, gaming, working, and more. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Visit breezeline.com today.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
OTB GAA.
Lads, we talked a good bit there about Donegal and Kerry and Galway in the first part of the pod. Some of the fellas that really impressed me this weekend. Fermanagh were 7-up. They haven't won an Ulster game in 7 years. They were 7-up with about 8 minutes to play. Daniel Guinness kicks a two-pointer. And then maybe steps at play as well here. But he burrows through the heart of the Fermanagh defence and buries a goal from about 25 yards into the bottom corner. Unbelievable. I think Down converted 2 of their 8 goal chances in the game and set themselves up for an Ulster semi-final against Donegal. But that was just, Guinness was off the charts. Murdoch was superb. We mentioned Keane Darcy in the air earlier on, but Oran Murdoch was superb in around half forward midfield as well. Mark McInerney scored 2-5 for Clare. They got the job done against Tipperary in their Munster semi-final. The weather was absolutely horrendous on Saturday in and around Clare. And Cusick Park held up incredibly well. There was a Munster football semi-final, a Munster Camogie semi-final in the couple of hours before Clare and Cork played in the round one, an absolute thriller in the hurling. But McInerney starred for Clare, Peter Keane's side, getting the job done. Stephen O'Brien scored an early two-pointer and then he hit the post above the bar with a penalty. That would have given Tipperary a dream start, but it just missed it. We mentioned Cork earlier on. Desi Ward, as you mentioned earlier, was absolutely brilliant. But my footballer of the weekend, lads, was Barry McNulty. Leitrim's Barry McNulty. And we haven't mentioned Leitrim yet. But I mentioned I was in West Clare on Saturday evening. James, I know you had a game with the Legion as well. We had a game with Cratlow back in Quilty against Camaria Brecon. And half time, going into the dressing room, and whispers go around. It's 8-7. Mayo are only a point up at half time. The spread in this game was 21 points. It ends up being a 7-point win for Mayo in the end. I don't know how much we're going to talk about Mayo here. Maybe we will a bit more going into the Connacht final. But like the Leitrim lads, led by McNulty, who was a colossus in midfield. We know how good this guy is. Like we know from listening to Andy Moran chatting to us, Paddy, on and off the record over the last couple of years about the talent in Leitrim. McNulty has just been a superstar for them. He played the Interprovincials with Connacht in November. Started Sigerson level. A couple of other really talented young lads in Leitrim as well. But what a performance. Some of the points he kicked. The point he kicked in the first half, it was a one-pointer. When he got a kind of a shitty little ball down the sideline, he had to beat his man to it in horrendous conditions. And Park Sean McDermott, he spins him. He runs it along the end line, outside the left boot, a one-pointer. To me, that was just early in the second half. To me, that was their score. He kicks a two-pointer with the outside the left bit later. He was just unbelievable.
Yeah, it was quality, to be fair. It was a game. Leitrim obviously had a tough season, and everyone had written them off that Mayo were going to cruise through this game. Conditions were really tough. But to be fair, Leitrim were set up really well. They frustrated Mayo, frustrated Aidan O'Shea in particular. Aidan O'Shea had absolutely lauded the previous round against Sligo. He was the target man. I might have done who was playing off. Jack Cardy was playing off him. And Leitrim, to be fair, the homework was done. They totally nullified that threat. And it was like, inviting Mayo to try and come on to them, and Mayo had no energy in that first half. It was just so flat. And Kevin McStay spoke afterwards, you know, we weren't interested in the performance, just about winning the game. But I think if you're a Mayo supporter, and I know maybe inside the Mayo camp, they would be very disappointed at how flat they were. And is it a case, no matter all the will in the world, to try and block out the noise, and it's going to be an easy game, we're going to win by X, Y, Z. That first half performance really looked like that did seep into the Mayo team. But it was massive credit to Leitrim, led by McNulty. Had that bit of quality, and they frustrated the life out of Mayo. And to be fair, like, outside Ryan O'Donoghue had an exceptional game for Mayo. We said that the pressure he is under to deliver for Mayo, if they're going to get to where they want to get to, he has to shoot the light out. They won't be enough for Mayo, but to be fair, on Saturday night, while all around him was not performing at the level Mayo would expect, he was the guy who got them out of trouble. He constantly showed direct play. He even has a couple of misses himself, but he's the difference between the two teams. And for Leitrim, the challenge now is, we know it's been an absolute shit show for them through the National League, being relegated from Division 3. Saturday showed, get their bodies on the pitch. They had lots of new guys, younger guys, getting their first go of Connacht Championship stuff. They've got to try and keep that squad together. As hard as this may be, guys want to go travelling in the summer and all that type of stuff, to have a go at the Talca Cup and try and build on what was a really, really good performance by Leitrim on Saturday night. And genuinely, 50 minutes into that game, they're in the mix to fucking win. And nobody would have had them at that level. And that's a testament to the work they did, frustration that caused Mayo, the Mayo attack, but just had his back, and that little bit of quality led by McNulty, Tober up front as well. Bad for Mayo, but positive for Leitrim.
Leitrim had a couple of chances when it was still tight, and they kind of wasted a couple of attacks. Like it was almost always going to happen because they exerted so much energy to be in the game. Like they played absolutely outstanding, above and beyond every expectation of them. And I think that feel good factor now can take them on even past this year. Like they need to get whatever players they were missing, need to get them back. They need to get that dressing room back to a strong base to kick them on. But that result can kickstart something for them. And when it comes to Mayo then, like Ryan O'Donoghue's base level is like an 8 out of 10. He's constantly delivering for them. All the time, he's just at a level above everyone, usually on the field, but definitely on his own side, where he's just constantly keeping them in the game and playing solidly, no matter the form of the team. I think like, it's a great sign of a player, a great sign of his leadership that he constantly delivers. He's always up in the 6, 7, 8, 9 point mark. And he's I just think he's a brilliant player, and without him, they'd be really, really, really stuck up front.
If you look forward to 2 weeks' time, it's Galway now against your own. You know, it's going to be Castlefair. It's going to be a massive crowd there. But we said it for the last 2 months with Mayo. Where are they going to get their range of scores from? And if you take Jerry McGrath, probably going to pick up Robert Dunhill. Will Kerr absolutely takes Dennis Smith out of the game for Rossies yesterday. Is he the man to tag in O'Shea inside? And then go, I have the other 30 lads that they have, the other 12 outfield players who we just spoke about. Like, Galway, paraphrase the chance and keep our feet on the ground. We'll go to the Castle Bar, then we're through with our fourth college championship in a row. But if you look at this on paper between both teams, it's going straight ahead of what we've seen from Mayo today. And the only thing within Mayo's camp, and what Kevin McStay has got the hammer home, it's going to be a big crowd. We're at home. We're playing one of our biggest rivals. Mayo need an absolute fucking rocket. Like, he made big changes. He took out Manny Roman, these guys, really established players, because they clearly was not happy, and rightly so, with what he was seeing on Saturday. And it's shown us that away for the next 2 weeks, can they pull out a big performance? But you just look at it, the matchups, what Galway have, how Galway can nullify the key threats that Mayo have, and it's, I'm struggling to see anything other. The top two
more comments. Yeah, if this game was on in Croke Park, I'd be so confident of a Galway win, a comfortable Galway win. The fact it's on in the Connacht Championship in Castlebar is a huge leveler.
Yeah,
and like Mayo will be right up for it. The crowd will be baying for it. The players will be up for it. They know that their season is kind of on the line. They can kickstart something. They'll be meeting all week, getting up for it. Like, they still have a great chance in that game, even though I do think the Galway are on a different level currently.
To be worth saying what Mayo will get, like their supporters, all that stuff, because they, if you're in that Galway camp, the way you'll be playing with Power Joyce is going, what a fucking opportunity this is to absolutely blow this team out of the water. They got really put us, like we did it to the Rossies day, it was met against Boys yesterday. It's Saltale and Joyce and those Galway players. No, we're going up for the All Ireland. This is a step on the way, and we could go to Castlebar and put on a clinic and take out Mayo. That's the way I'd be favourite for Galway. Ruthless fucking go after them.
Yeah, which they could.
And they can really show it.
Do you know the reward is huge, because the reward is top seed, and top seed in the group is a monumental advantage in that group. If you're second or third, if you're a third seed, you're in trouble, because there's going to be two massive teams there. Obviously, none of these sides can be a third seed, but like a second seed, even, you're guaranteed to be getting a provincial winner in there, which is it's going to be a really hard game. If you get a bad third team, you know, you're making your season a lot tougher and a lot longer. The benefit of getting top seed and getting through top of your group, it means you can plan your season. It means you can train accordingly. You have your proper breaks in between the games. It's a huge advantage. So I think like the reward for this game is not just the kind of title. It's actually the seeding of the group.
The way that the third seeds are looking, James, it's going to be one of Tyrone or Armagh. It's Monaghan, Roscommon and Derry are the third seeds. Fourth seeds right now are Cavan and Cork. You'd expect possibly... you might see Meade there if they fail to get the job done against Down as the fourth seeds there, and then or it'd be Loud. No, it couldn't be Loud. Loud can only be a first or second seed in a Leinster final. So same with Kildare. Kildare can only be a first or second seed. They'll be in the Tailteann Cup, whoever loses that Loud Kildare game. So fourth seeds will likely be Meade, Cavan, Cork and Down. You know, going off form. So,
if you look at what Cork did at the weekend, we seen it last year. Some team is going to absolute fucking horror group deck. It's got to be four teams, and that's, I agree. The Connacht Championship, the Munster Championship, the Leinster Championship, Ulster Championship, they all mean it's great. Nice to get a cup, nice to get a medal, but you're looking at the All Ireland series. Yeah. That's the added bonus of winning your provincial championship. Just make your path a little bit easier, and that's also looming over that common final on Sunday.
A bit of talk that the Ulster final is going to be moved to Croke Park. Would that be a positive or a negative, James?
Negative.
Is this legitimate though, T? Because this has been mentioned the last couple of weeks. Is this genuinely going to go ahead?
That's the reporting this morning. John Fogarty in the Irish Examiner: the Ulster Senior Football Championship final is aligned to take place in Croke Park on Saturday, May 11th, if Armagh and Donegal qualify for the decider. Examiner understands that should the counties win their respective semi-finals against Tyrone and Down this weekend, their showdown is likely to be staged in GAHQ with an early evening throw-in. I wonder, is that to make up for the quote-unquote lost revenue the Ulster Council got for Corrigan Park? I wonder, was that a sweetener in the deal there?
What if Tyrone get to the final? They're not part of this deal, is it?
But like, how many were at Tyrone and Cavan at the weekend? Look at the attendances for the Mayo, Leitrim and Connacht, or the Galway or Roscommon game. I think there was 15,000 there combined. There might have been 15 in Clonus. Clonus holds about 28,000, 29,000. I think it was pretty much a sellout last year for Donegal and Armagh. So,
how much were they getting in Croke Park for Donegal and Armagh?
They got 50,000 in 2006 60. For Armagh. And
you can get 60,000 out here. Yeah. It's basically that. Is it just following? Like, Armagh and Donegal, the whole of Donegal is going to be at the games. So, wherever it played, you'd imagine they're not going to sell it out because you get 60,000 to Croker with those two teams.
67,000 attended Armagh Donegal in 2004 in Croke Park, and in 2005. The Armagh Tyrone drawn game and replay drew crowds of 61 and 32,000.
Yeah. So. It's 20 years ago, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, Tiger times.
Absolutely. I'm just even thinking football-wise. Like,
I think it should. I think it should be a clownless, but I can see the rationale behind me over at the Croker. You get double the crowd there, so. I think Donegal are going to be all right against Down, but that's where I'm at again. I know we'll talk about it later in the week on the member show. I think that is it. I think it's a brilliant game, but there's absolutely no guarantee
that Armagh
will win that one.
I've reverted completely. I think All-Ireland final in Croke Park, and I wouldn't have anything else there.
Gaelic grounds for All-Ireland semi-finals?
Yeah, well, I'd have neutral venues around the country, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, because look at the
venue. Super value of Porky Creek.
Yeah, it could definitely.
I've had Buddy Crockshaw on the curve. There are some great names coming out, man. These fucking GAA stadiums.
There is, to be fair. But, like, I don't know. They're completely devaluing the whole Croke Park thing by moving everything there. Also, I don't know. The Ulster final should be on us.
Jimmy Croker is where the magic happens. Come on.
Only when there's 80,000 there, not when there's.
Yes.
Double B should be in Croke Park on Sunday.
Yeah.
Double
B should be in Croke Park on Sunday. No. Hard to get the juices going for that one. So there are the Leinster semi-finals this weekend. Clare against Loud, Dublin against Mead. And in Ulster, we have got Armagh Tyrone and Down Donegal. Paddy, you mentioned we're going to get stuck into them in our Football Pod member show a little later this week. The excitement, the buzz on Saturday evening, lads. Our Instagram was hopping. I put up a wee story and everyone was getting stuck in. People not happy with the red cards. We obviously had that little debate earlier on. Cahill asking, could the Clare forwards get success against that Kerry defence? The comment here about Paddy and a Kerry shirt and coppers, but that doesn't really make sense, Paddy, given your movements over the last few days.
Oh, you got lots of coppers in a long time.
Doppelganger.
By the way, they'll never be there again the way this week is going, but we'll see.
Shay O'Donovan reckons that Cork deserves more credit. We got a couple of messages actually saying that Cork blew it. They should have won it. They were a better team later on in that game. I think Kerry were the better side, James, it's fair to say, for a good chunk of it. They were comfortable up until Paddy's red card. They looked good. Didn't they?
Yeah, I thought Kerry played outstanding for periods, and I thought the Cork played outstanding in spells as well. Who was the better team? I think Kerry probably played the more attractive football, but Cork played very cute football with the two pointers. Yeah. And they had a couple of goal chances as well. Like, if Cork won, I think every Kerry person would have held their hands up and said, fair play. No, it would have. Yeah. Obviously, the right card would have been a big issue at the time, but you obviously think there were two right cards. But
I didn't. I'm just saying we're going to see a lot more of this year. Owen McSweeney getting a nod, comes on and kicks a couple of points. According to Daniel,
he completely changed the game.
Killer McHugh, Cork Red was a terrible decision. Poddies could be debated either way. Diving and the red card killed Cork. I didn't think there was much diving, was there?
No, there was that trend going around on Twitter. I don't think there was diving in the match, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough, probably for the two red cards, both players kind of stayed down a bit, but both did get contact. So you don't know where they got it or how, you can't feel their pain. You know, you don't know what it was like, but I think both players got contact. I don't think there's any diving.
Joe McGuiney says that everybody reckoned that the rules would suit the favourites, but it seems that the extra chaos, the two-pointers and the kickouts suits the underdogs.
Yeah, it's a leveller at the moment. Even look at Wicklow Dublin. Every game has been tight. There's been no, except for Galway Roscommon's probably the most one-sided. But like, there's more ball up for grabs. There's less dominating possession. It's become a bit of a leveler. Now, it'll be interesting to see how that continues, but I agree at the moment.
The games are never over. We see the report momentum swings under the overalls, but the two-pointers are an absolute fucking revelation for teams. Mm. Just keeps it, gets you back in it. Gets you back in the game.
Yeah. Richie Ladd has said that Meade aren't that far off it. We were the better team against Cork. Richie, we'll leave it there this week on the Football Pod.
Tell you what, if you're looking for two-pointers, the Dubs, and then we'll talk about it on Wednesday, they want to be doing serious work to shut down those Meade two-pointers.
I think the Dubs have got their warning.
It must have been. I'd say it was Richie that was in Coppers, was it?
Could have been Richie in Coppers. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, thanks for joining me on this bank holiday Monday evening. I had to change bloody tyre earlier, James. That's why I was a bit snarky. I got a blowout just before we recorded the pod.
Did you? That's my 5 minutes up.
Shout out to... Yeah, no, I got a hand up.
You have Christina doing that with the wrench. Christina, get out there and fucking do that tyre,
will you? I'm a good delegator when it comes to those emergency situations.
Hey, Jimmy, Brian, that's leadership. That's leadership.
Brian Ganan on the Lahinch to Ennis Road obviously saw that I was struggling and come over with a trolley jack to give me a hand. So thanks very much, Brian. Very kind. And we had a good chat about the hurling game as well. We didn't really get to talk about the hurling, Paddy. It was off the charts. I did notice that our contemporary, James Skehill, had... I'm kind of on board for this. A little dig after the game saying that essentially the hurling is... you know, greater than football.
He tweeted,
I don't think
it.
We need to go there, do we? I think they went on the pod. Apparently, Skehill was on a stag, so maybe that's where the tweet came from. But
someone got his fault. This is the old Johnny Lescott, like. It wasn't me.
Johnny Lescott, that was a classic.
Well done, the pocket, man. Get the fuck. Skehill, baby.
I can confirm it wasn't a Lescott because Kevin Martin responded, Kerry versus Cork on Saturday, better than any hurling game I've ever seen. And Skehill responded moments later, so you've seen a total of zero games of hurling. Oh, one game of hurling, and that was Galway Kilkenny yesterday. So, I don't know. I don't know.
They must be worried.
Positive notes. The two months of hurling championship games yesterday were, as you expect, exceptional. What a big game for Gaelic games. Football is back. We're no longer trailing away by hurling. Hurling's still top class, but
we're back.
That's what we said. This is going to be an exceptional summer of Gaelic football. Yeah. And it's just going to keep getting better. We go with it.
If football went back to six teams, though, you know, it would be nice and competitive as well.
Football is back. Paddy Andrews, best of luck this week. James O'Donoghue, the Monday Minute is back too. Anything to squeeze into your Monday Minute or any corrections you want to make to your Monday Minute?
Just the one, obviously, I said the Mannheim are 2 points up.
That's okay.
But you know what? First week jitters. I have to get the mistakes out of the way. Someone's getting sacked in the morning because obviously it was approved somewhere. I was like, testing the waters.
It's someone else's fault. Again, delegate. More leadership. It's always someone else's fault.
I hope you all had a lovely bank holiday weekend. Keep an eye out for news about a Football Pod roadshow. It's coming to you very soon. Paddy James, catch you during the week. Thanks, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Hello, friends.
Some things are just better together. Movies and popcorn, gaming and friends, Breezeline internet and mobile service. Get lightning fast internet starting at just $19.99 per month when you bundle with mobile. Plus, you'll get a free mobile line for a whole year. It's a match made in savings. No hidden fees, just nationwide mobile coverage and reliable fiber-powered internet with a free modem and Wi-Fi. Everything you need at home or on the go. For video chatting, gaming, working, and more. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Visit breezeline.com today.